Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Happy Labor Day. as usual, I thought we would have a little recognition today for Labor Day. First of all, of course, most of us need a little history lesson. Surprisingly enough, I don't know if it's surprising or not, to be honest with you, but we kind of blindly follow things that we like, appreciate, enjoy, look forward to, without really questioning how they came to be. In the last couple of years doing this show, I've realized that there are many national holidays that I knew what they were for, but I didn't know really how they originated, how they came about, who decided it was a good idea to have Labor Day. I remember when I was a kid, it was kind of like an oxymoron because Labor Day meant you didn't work. And it sounded to me like Labor Day meant that you labored at something. So I remember questioning that when I was very young. However, I also learned to realize as I grew older that way back in the day when I went to school, Labor Day was your last hurrah of the summer and usually meant school was starting. Today, school starts in early August. I always thought that was kind of tough, especially since we reside in Florida. And if anybody's been keeping an eye on the weather over the last couple months here in Florida, it's been unbelievably hot. And way back when I was a kid, schools weren't air-conditioned. You had rows of school classrooms, and there was usually cross-ventilation. My elementary school, I remembered, had a front door and a back door to the classroom. And windows, and we could open up windows. But believe me, even though as a kid I handled the heat pretty well, I can remember seeing my favorite sixth grade teacher wiping the sweat off of his brow all day. He was dressed in a dress shirt, not a polo, not a t-shirt, not even a, most of the year, short-sleeve shirt, a honest-to-goodness, button-at-the-sleeve, long-sleeve shirt. I remember, on occasion, seeing that teacher without a tie, but even that was unusual. Times have changed a lot. I'm going to let Shell in because we're going to talk a little bit about the observance of Labor Day and how it came about. We have a couple topics I want to cover today. I was sent another video of a beating on a school bus, and of course I'd like to send out some good vibrations and some good energy and some prayers, if you will, for Joan Rivers, who is kind of a iconic comedian. She is 81 years old and at this point in time is in a coma. Good morning, Shell.
Well, good morning, Rainey. How are you doing?
I'm better. I had a rough couple days. I think at first I thought maybe I had the flu, but I think it was brought on by the heat. I think my week of being out in those fields with watching Josh's graduation and being dressed in all black, and it took a toll on me. And I suffered from a horrible migraine for the last 2 days and actually stayed pretty much in bed all day yesterday, which, you know me, is not something I do very often, but much better today, thank goodness. But
yeah, I think that's very possible. That's what it was, because I'm fine while I'm working around the house, But I did the same. Well, I mean, I didn't react quite as badly as you, but I wasn't in it as long as you either. But I had run some errands for like maybe an hour, and when I came home, I was just completely washed out. Again, bad headache. My heart was bothering me a little bit, and I had to go lie down for a while. I was like, oh my God, I was only outside for like an hour, you know. But you're right, and you know, people don't realize it's different. I mean, there's other states that are hot like us, but it's different. Not all states have this humidity, and the humidity on some of these coastal states really mess with your metabolism because they create dehydration more than states that are not humid. The humidity actually makes you sweat more, and you become dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's pretty much... because that's all I did. Well, and the day before when I had Josh and his parents and his older brother and his girlfriend and her brother and Spike and I, we all had dinner together here, and I prepared a dinner and everything, and I really didn't feel great then. I had a headache that didn't seem to want to go away, and... Mm-hmm. I ended up going to bed really early that night and woke up in the middle of the night unbelievably sick. I had to keep standing in a cold shower.
And, oh, boy.
Reminded of the fact that during the graduation in South Carolina, we saw one young soldier fall out right on her face, and then another young man, just before that happened, got... the wobbles. He was sinking slowly but surely, and his team members steadied him and stood him back up and kept their hands on him until he got his balance back and the blood rushed out of his head again. So he he never fell out, but it was and of course the sun came up on the front of the field that we faced. So even though you were under an awning and it started at 9 a.m., the sun was head on all of us. So,
oh, boy.
Yeah, it was quite a morning. So at any rate, I'm glad I feel better today because that wasn't much fun. And but I wanted to, of course, I mentioned, I think you were already on when I mentioned the fact that it's funny how we have holidays growing up that we just take kind of for granted and never really ask. I know that they taught us in school. I know that they said this is a federal government mandated this a holiday and blah, 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 but I don't remember retaining any of the actual information. So it's always fun to look it up when we have different holidays and see how they originated. And I think everybody has a different celebration that they associate with different holidays. I mean, we all know that most of us, even those of us who seem to be in the same social circle, often celebrate things like Christmas and New Year's Day and things like that differently. It depends on how your family did it and what's come down in history for your family, right? So, Labor Day in the United States is a holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September. It's a celebration of the American labor movement and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of their country. Now, I want to ask you a question, just your point of view. Is that how you feel about Labor Day? Is that what it signifies for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it always has signified to me, that it was a tribute to the workforce, basically, for lack of a better way of putting it.
And do you think our laborers, our workers, realize any of the celebratory, except for having the day off, do you think there's any particular recognition that's carried on through today on Labor Day for the people who work in the in the factories, in the minefields, on the farms, things like that. Do you think that they get any particularly special recognition today?
Probably not, because they probably can't take today off. So see, if you run a small family operation or certain types of jobs, this would not be, although it is considered a federal holiday and everybody's supposed to get it off, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that can't take today off either by choice or you know, by pressure. So I'm sure, I don't know what the statistics would be regarding that, but yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that this holiday is meant to honor that actually don't benefit from it themselves. It'd be, that's an interesting point. I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it always amused me, even as a very young person. Of course, for the beginning of my adult life, I would say probably I had a few jobs before I started being a waitress in a restaurant, a very busy restaurant. But Labor Day in the hotel business was never a day off. Labor Day in the restaurants were never a day off. It was a day that I got to be very busy. And I appreciated it for that. I don't remember feeling left out that I didn't get to take the day off. I remembered being grateful for the extra business. And, of course, when I got into hotel business, it was the same thing. Hotels, restaurants, hospitals, place like that, they don't close for holidays. They're functioning all the time. So I appreciate what it's for. I want to read this, though, because I didn't know this. In the United States, it constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and the well-being of their country. It was promoted by the Central Labor Union and the Knights of Labor. I never heard that term either, Knights of Labor. I've heard Knights of Columbus. I never heard Knights of Labor, who organized the first parade in New York City. After the Haymarket Massacre, which occurred in Chicago on May 4th, 1886, President Grover Cleveland feared that commemorating Labor Day on May 1st could become an opportunity to commemorate the affair. Thus, in 1887, it was established as an official holiday in September to support the Labor Day that the Knights favored. The equivalent holiday in Canada, Labor Day, is also celebrated on the first Monday in September. In many other countries, more than 80 worldwide, Labor Day is synonymous with or linked with International Workers' Day, which occurs on May 1st. Now, in 1882, Matthew McGuire, a machinist, first proposed the holiday while serving as secretary to the CLU, the Central Labor Union, in New York City. Others argue that it was first proposed by Peter J. McGuire of the American Federation of Labor in May 1882, after witnessing the annual labor festival held in Toronto, Canada. Oregon was the first state to make it a holiday on February 21st, 1887. By the time it became a federal holiday in 1894, 30 states officially celebrated Labor Day. Following the deaths of a number of workers at the hands of the U.S. military and U.S. Marshals during the Pullman strike in the United States, Congress unanimously voted to approve Rush legislation that made Labor Day a national holiday. President Grover Cleveland signed it into law a mere 6 days after the end of the strike. The September date, originally chosen by the CLU of New York and observed by many of the nation's trade unions for the past several years, was selected rather than the more widespread International Workers' Day because Cleveland was concerned that observance of the latter would be associated with the communist, syndicalist, and anarchist can't even say those words this morning, anarchist movements that, though distinct from one another, had rallied to commemorate the Hay Day affair in International Workers' Day. In all United States, the District of Columbia and the territories have made it a statutory holiday. And, of course, usually means a parade, the day off from work. Usually in small towns, there was a small festival going on for the families, you know, like picnics and things like that. But this kind of surprised me. Second only, it's the biggest shopping day, Shell, second only to Christmas season's Black Friday. Did you know that? Shelley?
Sorry, I had muted the phone. That does surprise me because I would have thought it would have been equal to Memorial Day. Memorial Day is another big celebration. I thought that they would have been just as big, but maybe because everybody's at the end of the summer and all that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that does surprise me.
Yeah,
I can see the reason it would be, but it does surprise me.
Well, I think it correlates with the beginning of school. And I think that...
They're buying all the supplies. Okay, so in that regard, yeah, I didn't think of that, right?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, now school starts very early in August, which I think is a big mistake in South Florida. It's still too hot. But it is what it is, and it starts usually the very middle of August. So by now, most of the kids have been in school for 2-3 weeks. And
right. When does it start, like, in the northern states? Because I know when I was in New York, you know, school up there didn't start till September, and yet kids down here were starting a couple of weeks earlier than Floridians. Is that still the case, that New York doesn't, you know, like New York or the northern states don't start until September?
Yeah, well, I think that they start at the very end of August, most of them. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a little girl when we were in South Carolina and asked her how she liked school, and she said, "I don't know, we didn't start yet." And I said, "Really?" And, of course, that was the 26th of August. So they were starting the day after Labor Day, which... is kind of what I always remember, but
I wonder why Florida does it this way.
I'm not sure. I don't think we have longer holidays or anything like that. I'm not really sure why that is. We'll have to find that out. But
somebody had told
Labor Day
me.
Also,
I don't know if this is the actual reason, but what I had heard. And after I said I don't know why, this popped into my head, and I remembered somebody telling me that because we have so many hurricane scares here and there's a potential that kids can miss too many days of school, they start early in anticipation of a lot of downtime from hurricanes so that they're guaranteed of not going past June something, which is when all other schools end and then you have the summer. But what it does is it cuts into the summer for kids.
Well, the only part about that doesn't sound like it's the right reason is because of snow days. And there are schools where I'm from last year who, oh, my God, I don't know what the count is of how many snow days they had. I suppose I could find out because I have a lot of teachers that I'm associated with in upstate New York. And people that work at the local schools, but they had a lot more snow days than we had hurricane days since 2005.
All right. Well, that's a very valid point. I wasn't told this by a school official. I was told this by one of the other parents because I was questioning, why do they make the kids start so early? And this is what I don't even remember who it was. I just remember the comment and that it was by one of the parents because I guess I was sounding a little critical that I didn't think it was a good idea, and that's what they told me. So, yeah, but you're right. You're right. Snow days, hurricane, same thing. So that can't be the reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last sentence in the pattern of celebration part of this article is, the holiday often marks the return to school, although school starting times now vary.
Right.
And there's also a lot of talk about it being a big retail sales day. It also kicks off several seasons, you know, football season and races, NASCAR, well, let's see, NFL, college football seasons, NCAA, play their first game the weekend of Labor Day, Southern 500 NASCAR, U.S. Nationals, the National Hot Rod Association, Indianapolis Raceway Park. That's what Big Spike watched last night, was the races. So I guess that is that's a big part of it. So I guess I just want to recognize it. I always think it's a good idea for us to understand a little bit about our history, and it's amusing when I realize that I will be 66 years old this month, and there's many holidays that I've never questioned until I started doing this show. Many holidays, the obvious ones are still the obvious ones, but there's many holidays out there that I never understood why we did them, had them. It's just like when we read for the 4th of July, we read all that information celebrating our Day of Independence, and it's not really the Day of Independence. It was much, much earlier. So it gets kind of confusing, and I understand why they had to resituate dates and do things a little bit differently, but I ask some of the teenagers in my family if, when there's a holiday, if they really fill the kids in on the information as to why there's a holiday. And Austin said to me, well, yeah, they just tell us, you know, it's the 4th of July, it's Independence Day, Graham. And that was the end of it. And I said, uh-huh. That's pretty much all I remember being told, too. So whether or not it's because we're not interested when we're young and so we don't hear the whole story, I don't know. That's a big possibility. But I do think it's important for us to know these things. And, of course, if you are from another country and you want to become a citizen of the United States, these are some of the things that you have to know, which I always found amusing as well.
You know what I think would be interesting, and I agree with you, because I don't remember ever being told a lot of this when I was in school either. As a matter of fact, there was a long time that I confused Memorial Day and Labor Day and thought they were just two different days commemorating our military forces. I didn't differentiate between them. I just felt they were two different times of the year. It wasn't until I got a little bit older that I realized that the second holiday was for the labor force, not for the military. I thought they were both military-affiliated for many, many years. I remember having that confusion. So I didn't understand the distinction between the two, and I also confused what time of the year they were at. You know, I don't anymore. But, you know, but and I've known that there are other people that have that same confusion also, you know. So it would be nice if schools, and I don't understand why this isn't sort of mandated by the school board across the country, that on holidays such as July 4th, such as Memorial Day and Labor Day, since they are iconic holidays, since they are sort of the backbone of our country, to kind of refocus people on certain things, just like Christmas brings out, you know, a giving spirit and things like that. It invokes certain things in people. Other holidays should as well, and they should do what you just did. I find it fascinating when you go back through history, because some of these holidays have existed for a couple hundred years. It's fascinating
right.
to go back through history and find out how they actually started. And like the one holiday wasn't even being celebrated on the same weekend by all the same states, you know, because the two warring factions in the Civil War didn't want to celebrate it together once all the dust had settled, you know. So it's fascinating to look at the history, and that sometimes it took decades to to get everybody on the same page and celebrating the same way and actually unifying the country, but that some of these holidays that we take for granted and that we just celebrate when they pop up actually went through some sort of growing pains and a little bit of challenge before they became what they are today and the celebration that we take so much for granted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's, at Josh's graduation, and of course I've always known this about me, and I most of the time blame it on my Irish melancholy. I have the personality of a true Irishman. I take things very lightly most of the time. I don't put a lot of credence in too many bad things because it serves me better. But I am absolutely big on tradition and unity. And when you witness something like what I witnessed this week with all these young people who, for whatever reasons, and I'm sure every one of them had a different reason for doing what they were doing, that perseverance and that, that structure is like, for me, like, I just applaud it to... I can't even really explain. I said to my grandson, I said, I hope that you are as proud of yourself as we are. And he goes, of course I am, Grand. I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, why are you proud of yourself? And he goes, because I did it. He said, you know, there are some here to do this and they can't do it. Yeah, I know. And they say that at the beginning of the presentation when they introduce all the soldiers and everything. They say there are young people that come that don't make it through the first week. And and he said, you know, colonel, I guess he was, who spoke in the very beginning said, you know, just standing out there in the South Carolina sunshine, it's 90-something degrees today. They are in full dress, whites and blues. They may not take off their hats if they're outside for any reason. They have lots and lots of rules, and they are drilled into them. And they stood there, and they can't smile. They can't scratch their face. They can't wave away mosquitoes. They are told to stand there at attention or at ease without any other movement. That in and of itself is like a big deal, Shell. It's a big deal.
That is a big deal. That's extraordinary.
They stand there, and they, the decorum, it just was amazing for me. And, I mean, I've seen lots of things before. I mean, I cried at Yankee Doodle Dandy with James Cagney, so you know how emotional I am about that. But it's still something to be incredibly proud of. And then if you can imagine yourself in a place like Vietnam or in ISIS or in Kuwait or any of these places where our children are going to fight for our freedom and live by these rules.
Right.
Do I imagine that they never break the rules? No, I don't imagine that. Do I imagine that there's some leniency once they get into third world countries and get into a compromising position where all they're thinking about is saving their lives and the man standing next to them? Of course not. But just the fact that they can do that, I mean, there are times in a golden corral when the line can't stay straight at a Golden Corral. Am I right?
The kids what?
The line at Golden Corral, when we go in for breakfast at the Golden Corral, there are people stand in front of us, move up and get into our space. I mean, that simple little thing, there's no decorum at that.
Exactly. I see, you're right. Absolutely.
So I just think it's a shame, and I know that they try to do this with the ROTC thing in high schools and stuff like that. They try to get kids interested in reaching that kind of, self-control, obedience, all that kind of stuff, even in the ROTC, but they don't always succeed at that either. I know that firsthand because a lot of times it's too rough on them. I asked Josh if they were mean to him, and he goes, sometimes. I said, what's mean? Just yelling at you mostly, Graham, just yelling at you, especially if it's something for the third time that you know you're not supposed to do or something that's just stupid, you know, and he says a lot of guys do it. Just see how much they can get away with, how little, what's important, what isn't important. And I said, that's our makeup, though, you know. That is our makeup. So.
Push the limits.
Yeah. Just see how far you can push everybody that's in charge. Mm-hmm. So I was in awe of that. And, of course, I also respect this holiday. Being a worker bee most of my life and coming from a family of worker bees, and soldiers, for that matter, I think it's important that we are we're actually the foundation of what makes our world go around.
Right.
The people, you know, the people that do the labor, the people that do the hard work, not just the people that sit behind a mahogany desk and make decisions because they've had lots of education and have earned the right to make those decisions, but they're only as good as what their foundation is. And I would say that those of us that are workers are the ones that establish that foundation. And it's important that working people get some recognition. And I hope everybody today that has worked their whole life realizes that this holiday is for you. So, you know, it is what it is, but it is for you, and it was designed in the 1800s.
That's
how
amazing.
Long they recognized how important it is to have the people who do the hard work. So the next thing that I want to talk about is I got another video. This one came to me from one of my adult kids. Another school bus beating. And as always, it just, you know, the first thing I said is, where are the grown-ups? Where are the, where's the bus driver? Another kid gets attacked on a school bus, and another kid took it, the video, which is very poor video. I mean, it's all blurry, but you get the gist of what's happening. A bigger kid comes up to another kid and grabs him by the head and slams his head into the back seat and, just womps on him. Well, everybody else, the school bus doesn't stop. The school bus driver is a woman, and she does nothing. Nothing. And this video was posted by a relative of this kid. His name was Alex. So this is a video of my nephew, Alex, being beaten by a group of teens on his bus ride home from school yesterday. He was able to get off the bus at the next stop, 14 miles from his home. He went to the Magnolia Fire Hall and called the police. The bus driver failed to intervene at all. She didn't stop the bus while the beating occurred. She didn't call the police and file a report. She didn't inform the administration that the beating occurred. Apparently, the bus driver called the school and stated that Alec left the bus early for no reason, according to the administration, called my brother yesterday. Of course, this morning when my brother informed the school administrators that he had a video, had video evidence of the beating, the administrator now denies, saying that Alec left the bus for no reason and of his own accord, and that the bus driver stated that nothing had happened on the bus. There is some question as to whether the bus driver is related to one of the students that beat the nephew. This needs to be addressed and either refuted or confirmed by the school administration.
Wow.
A student had the posted to his Facebook page and linked it to each of the students' accounts that were doing the beating. A friend of my sister-in-law made her aware of the video posted on Facebook, and when I was made aware of the video, I captured and saved the video. Almost immediately after, my sister-in-law contacted the school and made them aware of the video on Facebook. The link was removed. Fortunately, I had already captured and saved the video prior to being deleted. I'd ask that every parent that views this video place their child in this situation and then act accordingly. I'd ask that my friends, both parents and non-parents, share this video and contact the school. The school is Parkway Academy Central. The principal's name is Gail Evans. She may be reached at, to give her phone number and her email. Please act to ensure that the school takes appropriate action to punish these thugs and to ensure that they terminate the driver. No school or no child should have to be attacked like this in a school or on a bus ride to and from school while adults excuse and allow it to happen. Amen.
Wow.
So I'm not sure where this is. I don't know where, I suppose I could look that up. Parkway, of course, there's probably a million schools named Parkway Academy. It doesn't say where it is, but if it's 14 miles from school, my guess is it's a, you know, kind of country. 14 miles for a city kid to go to school is a long ways. So
yep.
It's out country someplace, I would guess, maybe small town up north or something like that. But all of the points that this person makes are valid. And we have watched, I have talked about bus beatings many times in the last 2 years, many, many times. And never, I'm sad to say, has there been an intervention except one video that was sent to me where an adult got involved, and but it was really to no avail. I mean, the adult wasn't in a position to make demands. Everybody just kind of ignored them. So I don't know what to say other than you better hope I'm not on your bus. And I mean that. You better hope I'm not on your bus when you start beating on another kid, or at a party, or anything else. So I don't know what's wrong with the rest of the grown-ups in this world and why they think that's okay and why they don't see the problem of turning their head. It's, you know, I remember being told when I was very young to never get involved between a husband and wife, to never get in the middle of your girlfriend's fight with her husband, to never intervene at a party if a husband and wife start slapping each other or fighting with each other. And I have seen firsthand what the repercussions are in getting involved in that. And, of course, if you ever watch any of the shows on TV like Cops or any of those real-life shows, it's not unusual to see a cop arrest a man and have the wife jump on the cop's back.
Yep.
So, you know, we've all seen those kind of stories. So having a little bit of thinking about what you're going to do before you intervene in some situations is certainly prudent, certainly, certainly prudent. However, if you are in an area, a school bus, at a school, at a party, anywhere where somebody is on the floor or in a seat covering their head, not fighting back, and being pummeled by one or however many other young people. If you don't do something to stop it, you're just as bad as the kids that are doing it. Period.
That's right. Well, what's the cliche? If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
and that's
the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem with this world. People want to stick their head in the sand. You know, I can understand being afraid of your own safety. If somebody's being mugged, I'm not advocating to rush in and be a good Samaritan because you could literally lose your life, all right? But in certain situations, when you're in a position of authority, and I'm sorry, a bus driver for a bunch of kids is in a position of authority, I don't understand how these people get these jobs when, number one, they don't have a sense of responsibility, because this is happening more and more often. Sometimes they give the excuse that they were afraid of the kids. Well, you know what? If you're afraid of the kids that you're busing, then this is not the job you should have. Because if something like that happens, then you're setting a really, really bad example for the other kids on the bus. Here is an adult completely ignoring the beating, not even trying to stop it. And that is wrong on so many levels, because now you're teaching the other kids on the bus that it's okay to just ignore the situation, don't get involved, because here the adult, the responsible adult, that's what they're doing, okay? And they're getting paid to do this job. So, number one, it sets a horrible precedent. Number two, there's no reason to be afraid of these kids, okay? Unless they're actually wielding a gun or something like that, you had better have enough presence about you that you can walk up and tell three kids to stop beating on another kid and they're going to turn around and listen to you. And if you can't do that, then you should not be doing that particular job, because this is becoming an epidemic in this country. These bus drivers have got to be trained, you know, properly, and I think the children have to start suffering severe penalties as a diversion, so that they don't, you know, get into violence on buses, because I don't really hear a lot ever happening to these kids. Anything happening to these kids that are involved in the story you just told?
No. Well, there's no follow-up to it. This was put on there to say this is what happened, and this is, you know, she lied about everything, and even the school didn't say anything. That here's what I'm wondering. While you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know how you always try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Well, if there's that much fear involved in your job, and you drive a school bus, and you are in fear of being hurt, then like Shelley says, you should move on to another job. You should quit your job. If this has become such a horrific job to do, then maybe bus drivers literally need to be revamped. Maybe the bus driver should be my son Spike. Maybe the bus driver should be my son David instead of some, you know, 55-year-old lady who has been driving a school bus for 25 years and never had any problems. Maybe we need to reevaluate the structure on the bus, period. Or I know that even in elementary school, if the kids don't maintain some self-control on the school bus, they're not allowed to ride the school bus. So, but maintaining a group of kids that are age 5 to, like, say, 11, maybe 12, is one thing. Maintaining a school bus of kids that are 12 to, in some cases, even 20, then that's another scenario. So I do think we need to recognize this problem and you know, really examine it and do something about it instead of just thinking that it's random acts of misbehavior. You know, a lot of controversy about the young man that got beat up, the young man that's on the autistic spectrum who got beat up at a party. And I read so many different stories, and I quit talking about it because I was afraid that I was no longer reading true facts. But I want to say that in the video that I watched with my own two eyes, I saw indifference, I saw unkindness, I saw almost, I don't know, lack of any kind of our natural instincts that we're all born with to protect each other or to care about each other. So for whatever reasons, I don't think all the things, all the hype that we saw, somebody posted a picture of this young boy's face being, I mean, just pummeled, black eyes, lips swollen. And then 2 days later, I see him with his family on a street corner because they're asking for help for him or support for him. And he's fine. I don't see anything on his face. And even in the beating that I witnessed on the video, he was being hit in the top of his head.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the only thing I saw was him being, the guy was holding his hair and punching him on the top of the head.
Now, I'm not going to take away from the that disgusting behavior. I'm not saying that they don't deserve to get punished. But as usual, our media got carried away and said things that weren't true.
Yep.
But what I did see and what I do get is that we're losing our self-control in regard to our behavior. You know, did you ever, when you were, when I was 16, I went to all Hollywood War Memorial, I went to Fort Lauderdale. There were dances everywhere, and that was when it was becoming, it wasn't such a black and white issue, but it was, there were a lot of Cuban kids, Puerto Rican kids versus white kids, and I can remember lots of fights breaking out in the dances, and I can remember if one kid threw a punch, it could be mass chaos. But it wasn't 10 kids against one.
Right, right.
I'm not condoning that behavior, but I want everybody to see the difference between attacking one person that doesn't maybe have the ability, the strength, the wherewithal to fight back versus, like a brawl. And it just blows me away that seems to be what happens more today than the brawl.
Right.
Blowing off and throwing punches. And, you know, have you ever seen a mosh pit show at one of the concerts?
A what? Oh, a mosh pit?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So a mosh pit is kind of like that. And you get in there of your own volition, and you know you're going to get slammed around and everything. And even though I find it to be an incredible waste of time, something that I don't quite think is necessary, but I'm a female. I do understand that young men need to vent. I do get that. And of all the evils that I see out there today, at least there's no underdog in there being whomped on by all 15 other moshers. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
The, it's kind of like gladiators and all the other things that are in abundance in our history. Abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why people find it okay to beat up on one person. Everybody jumped on one kid. Ironically, I'm talking about this, and somebody just sent me a picture. This is Evelyn. She was kicked repeatedly until she fell off the slide by other kids. The school did nothing about it since no teacher saw it or heard any screams, and it's the he say, she say right now. What type of school system is this? Please repost justice for Evelyn. We're talking about a maybe 5-year-old, 4 to 5-year-old. She has two black eyes. She has, her face was pummeled by these kids, probably by feet, it looks like. And again, when I was a kid, if you went to a small school, there were 14-year-olds out there watching, and they were made to feel very important watching the little kids if there wasn't enough teachers or if teachers had such a busy schedule they couldn't be out there. Somebody was watching the 5-year-olds. Is that not true anymore? Has this become, even with all this stuff that we see every day? I don't know. I don't have any answers for this, but I do know that eventually somebody's going to have to wake up and smell what's going on here. This is not, it's not normal behavior for a bunch of 5- and 6-year-olds to beat up another child. They are almost always, they can pick on each other and they can get mad at each other and cry. That's what I remember happening between 5- and 6-year-olds, 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds. I don't remember.
It also comes to what they're exposed to. I mean, why are they behaving like that? Are they seeing violence within their families? Are they watching movies or TV programs that are too filled with violence, or playing games that kind of inspire them to be, like, intrigued by that behavior? I mean, kids aren't naturally that violent. Kids are naturally nitpicky with each other. You know, you see sibling rivalry in the best families. It's just kind of, you know, everybody's trying to get the attention of the parents and feel their importance and stuff like that, you know. So sibling rivalry or even amongst other people is, you know, like when you're talking about little kids, but not to the level of violence we're seeing. That's not just normal growing pains. That's being inspired by something. They're being exposed to something that's bringing this out in them, or, again, going back to diet, or it could be their diet. You know, certain types of allergic reactions to sugars and food preservatives actually can make kids very angry and violent. They don't know where it's coming from, so they just take it out on everyone around them. You know, so there's a lot of underlying causes that could be creating this. But the bottom line is it's happening too often. People have to stop and look at this and collectively say we have a situation on our hands, and collectively we have to start teaching parents why this can happen and how to stop it.
Well, and I would agree with that. And I do think it'd be interesting to find out how we've had teachers on the show. We had Amanda on who loves her classes, all of her kids, and they all love her, and it's everything that you think it should be. And yet, I do have to wonder, with today's ability to put your child on all the different mind-altering or behavior-altering drugs that are available out there, if you say more than 3 times to your doctor, "I can't control Joey," all of a sudden Joey's on something. And of course, we both know that allergies to food, allergies to sugar, allergies to different kinds of dyes in food is very scary and very true and really, really exists. Everybody, this is not the rantings of a couple tree huggers. This is the truth. This is the truth. Remember there for a while, baby Tylenol and all the different kinds of liquid pain and fever reducers were purple, red, bright orange. And then all of a sudden they realized that the number red dye that they were using in some cases was poisonous.
Right.
Could make kids sick or could make kids have really major allergic reactions to it. Where was the FDA when that went into that? I mean, there's food coloring that's supposed to be totally harmless. Have you ever tasted something that's, I'm going to, Pillsbury right now is putting out all different kinds of different colored icings. Now, my assumption was when I saw them that they're using food coloring. Food coloring is supposed to be, you know, okay. It's not supposed to be have any weird things in it. It's just supposed to be dyes derived from food. And that's, you can taste it, Shell, in some of the icings. I got all set to make a cake where you cut the cake in like thinner pieces and you put different colors of icing in all of them. It looked so pretty and I thought one of the really little kids would think it was great. I tasted the icing and threw it all away.
Mm-hmm.
It all did.
Well, one of the comments you just made is the issue with that is that food coloring, unless it says food-based food coloring, are basically just chemicals. All right, then I can't eat a lot of different bakeries products because if their buttercream is like a bright color or something, I actually get a stomach ache from it. But there are actually food-based food colorings that don't spike any brain dysfunction in kids. You get kids with ADD and ADHD, and you give them high doses of food coloring, and they're messed up for a while. So there are, you go to Whole Foods and stuff like that, they actually sell food-grade food colorings that they're actually made, like the red is made from like a beet juice or something like that. So they're actually food products that would seem, you can think yourself, you can think of different types of foods. You cut a beet up on your counter and you spill some of that juice there, you got a stain on it. You're going to have to clean that with something. So that's where they get these food colorings from. They're food-based, you know, but standard food coloring is not. It's a chemical.
Well, you can taste it. I know that for sure. I didn't examine it. I just threw it away and thought to myself, I don't like the way that tastes, and I can't believe that it's okay to eat because it has a strange taste. So,
yep.
But again, all of these things may lead into or may have some significance in regard to the behavior of our children. In most cases, five-year-olds fight over toys, but they don't intentionally hurt somebody else just for the sake of hurting them. They don't. It's not normal if you have a five-year-old who just is mean for no reason. You need to find out what's going on in that child. We are out of time. I want to again send prayers and positive energy to the bedside of Joan Rivers, who's been an iconic entertainer. I mean, she's 81, and she's still, I mean, the biggest joke about Joan Rivers, of course, is how many facelifts she's had and all the different things that she's had done. Certainly a trooper, and our love and support go out to her. We will not be on the air tomorrow. I changed the times till 8 o'clock and, for this week and realized that my husband's doctor emailed me and they want to see him first thing tomorrow morning at 7:45. So we won't be able to do the show. I apologize, but we'll be back Wednesday and we're going to talk about what's going on here in Florida with all the sharks. We were warned all weekend about going into ocean waters because of the onslaught of sharks in our waters. So So Shal and I are going to do a little research on that and get back to you Wednesday morning about what the deal is with that, if there is. So everybody go out and have a great day. God bless, and try to stay cool. Bye-bye. Thanks, honey.
Thanks, Renee. Have a wonderful day, everyone. God bless to Joan Rivers and her family. We're all sending our prayers and our love to her. Thank you, and have a wonderful day. Bye.